Hello. On this podcast, we talk about movies, their faults, their flaws, and their plots. So, expect some spoilers.
You've been warned.
Welcome to Plot Spackle.
I'm John, and I would order official Space Godzilla space merchandise from the Space Amazon Network.
I'm Eric, and I would order space blankets off of Space Amazon.
I'm Richard, and I would order the seasons 6 through something million at that point of Case Closed, because they never happened on regular Amazon.
All right, guys. We're ordering space stuff from Space Amazon.
Making Space Bezos a space bajillionaire.
In the meantime, we gotta fill some plot holes from a movie that probably has something to do with space. What are we gonna use?
Well, since we're using space things, space stations?
Parts of space stations?
Attached to other space stations.
And just keep building up, filling this hole with space station bits until the hole's filled?
Yeah. You don't have to keep it. Just throw it at the wall. See if it sticks.
As we are talking about Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Whose name actually does, admittedly, make slightly more sense after having seen the film. Because it did not make sense from just the trailer.
I mean, what do you think of this movie, Eric? You watched this movie.
I did
watch
this
movie. Maybe you could tell us what it was about.
So, just before I go into the plot, not going to lie, I totally thought this was a teen dystopian movie. And I thought there was going to be a plucky girl who's not like the other girls and they overthrow the tyrannical government or whatever. But that is not what happened.
And she's like a ninja.
That's because
but she's also clumsy and awkward. But then she's a ninja.
Oh, don't forget the love triangle, too.
And she's only average looking.
But everyone's falling for her.
Until she puts her hair up.
Oh, yeah. It's always put your hair up.
But
or takes her glasses off.
Either or. But that is not what Valerian is about. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets is actually a movie about a guy. He, along with his partner, are space federales. They hunt for, I don't know, illegal stuff. They get sent in on missions that need to be quick and fast. So I guess they're like the Space Team 6? I don't know. I'm not in the Space Force. But Valerian and his partner are sent to retrieve a endangered animal. This animal happens to be the last of its kind, and everyone is hunting for it. After a bunch of stuff happens, it turns out that this animal is the key to renewing a planet that was destroyed by an egotistical jerk at the beginning of the movie. And so that happens, and then Valerian and his girl live on happily ever after, I guess? I don't know. I haven't seen the rest of the movie, or movies, I guess, or read the comics. But that's what happens.
Or seen the anime?
There's an anime of this?
Yeah, there's an anime.
Is it a good anime?
I mean, it was an okay anime. It explains where Loreline comes from.
All right, but what other facts do you have besides anime adaptations?
Well, other than anime adaptations, we can talk about the movie itself. It actually had a real release, guys, on the 21st of July in 2017. Had a budget of $177 million. Earned $17 million back in the opening weekend.
Oh, that hurts.
Grossed a whole $41 million in the U.S., but worldwide, it did actually get $225 million back, which is more than its budget, and, I mean, given the advertising for the film, it probably actually covered some of the advertising budget, because they didn't do a whole lot of advertising for the film. It makes it two things: the single most expensive independent film in existence, and is the most expensive French-made film in existence, beating out the previous record holder, The Fifth Element, which was also made by Luc Besson.
All right.
So you mentioned that this was was based on a comic book. When did that comic book come out?
The comic book came out in 1967, which does mean that the movie is the 50th anniversary of the comic books.
So, yeah, it was a precise thing. And it is because it is an indie movie and was crowdfunded and personally funded.
Besson himself.
Yeah. So it is a passion project, at least.
He specifically refused to shoot it in 3D.
Oh, thank
you. Because
goodness.
He likes to be the guy behind the camera. And he can't do 3D and run cameras.
All right. And any more fun movie facts for us?
There are lots of references to the Fifth Element in this film. Like, for instance, there is when Valerian and Loreline are going on their quick first mission, and there's the guy who wears the hat that you made fun of before they made fun of it.
Yeah.
Yep. That is a direct quote from when Corbin Dallas goes, "Nice hat," in Fifth Element. And when one of the places that they pass in Paradise Alley is called Corbin's.
All right. Well, we have some facts. We kind of know what the movie is about. Should we fill those plot holes?
Well, therein lies an interesting struggle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This was a problem.
There's a lot of people that like to call it Valerian and the City of 1,000 Plot Holes. How many plot holes did we actually find, all told, Eric?
Not quite a lot. Less than a handful.
How many fingers could we have shot off in a war and still be okay?
Ooh, probably about 4. Maybe 5 if we go on our other hand, too. Because if I had all my fingers shot off on one hand, I would be pretty upset.
But yeah, there's not a whole lot of actual plot holes for the film. The film is mostly just the director got to do whatever he wanted because it was his money. And so maybe having somebody be able to say no is sometimes a good thing.
Yeah, it's not that things don't make sense that happen. It's just that things happen that didn't need to happen.
Or they don't explain that things happened until like halfway through the film. Like, for example, that he was carrying the soul of the princess or whatever. That just kind of came out of nowhere when they were like, oh, I've had a girl inside me this entire time.
Yeah, and then they kind of promptly forget about it as well.
Until the end of the movie, when it actually mattered, I guess. I don't know. I think they needed
it. So it's that it had plot holes and more just didn't have a great plot.
They kind of strung together a lot of things.
I think I read online that this was an amalgamation of 2 of the comic books.
Yes.
So there could lie the problem. Just it's really hard to
know.
We know how well that worked out for John Carter.
Yep. Trying to put in too many things. Though I understand, like, John Carter, they really wanted there to be sequels. This one, he knew he was never going to get a sequel, so he's just like, I'm going to put it all in.
Do it all at once.
Which is a problem in the different direction. But we'll talk about that at the end when we talk about our thoughts about the film. Let's go to plot holes. Where are we getting our plot holes today?
From a variety of locations.
So precise.
So we have some from moviemistakes.com, some questions they have.
We have some issues from IMDb.
And at least one Reddit comment. Right, Eric?
Right.
Reddit's always got something to say.
Not always a good thing, but they say it.
We did it, Reddit. We fixed racism.
All right, where do we want to start?
Should we just get the Reddit post out of the way?
Yeah, let's just get it out there.
And be done with that wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Okay. Is it / r Tatooine?
No.
No, this one's r/ Valerian.
Oh, okay.
So it's the official Valerian subreddit. And a few years ago, someone posted, so the City of 1,000 Planets has traveled 700 million miles from Earth. They say that in the middle of the movie when they're just saying, hey, we're a long ways away. But when you actually see how far 700 million miles away from Earth is, it puts you about in the orbit of Saturn.
Yeah, because 700 million miles sounds like it's really far, but distances in space is bigger than you think it is.
Space is so much bigger than you think it is.
Okay.
It's full of a whole lot of space.
Here's how we can visualize space. Think of the biggest thing you can ever think of. And now think bigger. That's basically exactly. Space. But yes.
So how is the City of a Thousand Planets super far away from absolutely everything, even though it's only just outside Saturn's orbit?
Because even in Saturn's orbit, it's far away from everything?
Well, there's that possibility. I think the biggest thing that they decided to do was they decided to shove it above the plane of the ecliptic for the solar system.
Oh, so it's up above. It's so they're going from, they're not counting the diagonal up or how far up into above the plane it is.
Yeah. And so it's just up and away from everything. Or because it is 500 years from now-ish, further than that. Yeah, it's even further than that. I don't remember exactly how long, but language changes over time, and while they may be doing a good job of translating their space gibberish back into modern English, they're using the term miles very loosely for a distance that we're not quite certain exactly what they're using it for. Perhaps they actually were using miles to refer to space miles, astronomical units, and 700 million astronomical units is a pretty decent chunk.
And see, an astronomical unit is how long it takes for light to travel from the sun to...
That's the distance between the Earth and sun.
Okay.
It's 700 million times further away from us than we are from the sun.
All right. So that's a pretty good explanation. I have my theory is because when we actually get to Alpha Station, there is a large chunk of like stone portion of it and an aquatic zone. So I think it's actually in the same orbital position, like opposite Saturn, but they stole some of Saturn's moons to add to mass to the station, to add mass to the station.
They just stole its rings.
Yeah. And so it's very specific. It's supposed to be, it's in Saturn, but takes it far away enough from Earth that, you know, Earth's the nice quiet, neighborhood. And this is the like downtown business district, close enough that it's convenient, but so you don't have to deal with all the problems.
Mm-hmm. So Earth is the suburb.
Yes. I think more Earth is the gated community. Mars is the suburbs.
I see.
I think Mars would be the boonies, to be honest. Because there's nothing out there.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on this, Eric?
I don't. I was actually agreeing with Richard that I think just languages change. Like, for example, if we take the word million, like right now, and compare that with British English and American English, that's 1 million is 1,000 thousands. So it's, you know, 1 million. But in England, a million is actually 1,000 millions, or it's 1 billion. So maybe whoever said that was from the other side of the pond originally.
It was a French film, so.
So maybe they mean 7 billion?
Yeah, 7 billion.
Or 700 billion miles?
Exactly. Which, I mean, that's still not very far in like the grand scheme of things. I think it puts it out of our solar system, but I mean, that's
it's better. Further
than,
away.
It's better than like midway in our solar system.
And we're doing some real quick check about what's 700 billion. Is it around Pluto?
Never forget.
Never forgive.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, you are on my watch list. Can't do that to me. When I was growing up, we had 9 planets and we liked it.
So
we would be pretty decently far out. Cause Neptune is only 4.5 billion. So if we, take the distance out to Neptune and multiply that by a factor of, by another 100 times.
All right. All right. So it would be pretty far out there then.
It had gone through the Oort cloud. Definitely enough to pick up a bunch of rocks.
Another fun thing though, they were talking about they needed. So in the movie, they find out that their commander basically committed genocide and they need to, I guess they need to arrest him. Valerian's like, we need to take this to the courts. And then his girlfriend said, Earth quartz are 18 light years away. They're not going to help us. So I wonder, like, how close 18 light years is to the 700.
So now we're doing some more math. Light years to miles.
It's a lot more.
It is a lot more.
So one light year is 5.879 times 10 to the 12th power. So I'm not exactly how many, like what you'd actually call a number with 12 zeros behind it, but then times that by 700.
A statistically significant number.
It's big. Think of the biggest thing you've ever thought of.
And that add a bunch of zeros behind it and then a notation.
That does put us within a range of a host of other star systems.
All right, so we've actually reached other star systems, if that's a correct date. But those are two different numbers, so maybe 18 light years is actually just a figure of speech.
But who knows? We basically solved it. We did it, Reddit. Good job.
Yeah, we solved it, Reddit. Take that.
Or I guess our Valerian, you know, for the fans of the show. Or the comic.
All of Reddit can suffer in their arrogance and
hubris. Don't forget hubris.
Hubris. Got it. Yeah, they have that hubris. All right, so let's move to movie mistakes.
Sounds great.
All right, here we go. Where did the mule converter, the creature that replicates any product, come from? A lot of people seem to know about it, except for it comes from the planet Mule, which was unknown, unvisited, and destroyed. And the only survivors were stuck in a damaged spaceship that floated through space until it was picked up by a cargo crew that spent years traveling to the space station and then dropped it off. Isn't it native to that planet as well?
Well,
I mean, how does the Federation of Human Planets know about it, have one so that it can be stolen and sold on the black market, is really the question.
There's a couple of possibilities there. Possibility the first. These people were picked up by a junk trader and brought to Alpha Station, where they have had time to learn the languages of the galaxy, get a bunch of science, have a whole bunch of things, and build their own spaceship inside the middle of it, where they've got our quote-unquote red zone. So, ostensibly, they kept these things as pets on home planet, because we see several of them that seem to be treated that way. So maybe some of them went with the people on the junk trader, one of them got traded to the junker, and the junker turned it into the Human Federation, because, hey, maybe this weird alien creature will turn me a profit. And the other ones have died out, and this is the only one left. It could be that by pure chance, this is the only one left, and there were no nefarious schemes whatsoever that involved wiping out entire planets and murdering entire native populations to steal things that were capable of replicating whatever you wanted for your own personal profit.
See, I do wonder if they, like, because they could have brought one on board, like you said, and it, like, someone's purse, space pangolin.
Yeah.
It's in their, they just brought it with them.
They had their pet with them, and when they were trying to evacuate, they took it with them.
Or, I mean, because they have the space battle above the planet, which is what causes the whole devastation. I'm wondering if they were investigating the world. They sent down some probes, got themselves a space pangolin as a sample.
And found out what it could do.
Found out what it could do, and then the other people are like, whoa, 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 we know about those things. So we're going to fight you, and that's why they were even having a battle in space.
You're saying that it is a nefarious plot, and that that's probably related to the rest of the film, John?
Yes.
How could you?
What about you, Eric?
Not going to lie, I totally didn't put together that it could replicate anything. I thought it could just replicate those pearl things, but the reason people wanted it is it was such a powerful source of energy. How many megatons... They said we're
20 megatons in a pearl.
In a pearl, so that thing or whatever can replicate the pearl, so there's basically a near infinite amount of energy, which is...
Now, I don't think it can replicate anything, because we only see it replicate pearls and...
Diamonds.
And diamonds.
But they bring up that it can fabricate any anything that you feed it.
So anything you can fit inside a chihuahua-sized pangolin,
you could replicate.
I'm just going to say, this is a space movie, and I think we all get one J.J. Abrams Star Wars explanation for each space movie. So I'm going to say that's a good question for another time.
Put that in your mystery box and smoke it?
Basically.
Or if you want to cite comic books, which we're not supposed to do, it was originally given to Valerian and Loreline so they could replicate currency for negotiations with other countries. And it had absolutely nothing to do with the Planet Mule or this plot.
They were given a counterfeiting tool? An official counterfeiting tool?
An official counterfeiting, or rather, in this particular case, it was there as given them by the mint, basically.
And it's pretty cheap if you can just, you know, feed a coin to it and you don't have to spend more than a penny to make a penny.
Yeah, if you can spend a penny to make like a billion pennies,
that's
then
worth it.
It stops being a terrible idea to make pennies.
So I think I remember what part they might have been explaining that, or that it could replicate things. I was just trying to figure out if John Goodman was actually in the movie. Who is the big space gangster?
He was the voice of the big space gangster.
But I didn't find him on IMDb, though. That was the thing, and I kept looking through IMDb like, I swear that's John Goodman.
Maybe he just didn't want to be attached to it.
Yeah, but IMDb
should we get to the
care.
Next plot hole?
We probably
or
should.
Or question?
Yeah, he's there on IMDb.
No, then
Egon Cirrus, John Goodman.
Then he did not show up on my phone, which was unfortunate. I need to use the real IMDb, not the mobile one. But anyways, what's the next question, Richard?
All right. So the next question people have was, why is the Alpha human population economy in shambles? The gargantuan space station Alpha resembles a fort in the outer fringes with brothels, militaries, and savages. Not a place of science, technology, and culture sharing. It doesn't actually have a question other than, why is the Alpha human population economy in shambles?
Because they moved too far away from the Earth Quartz. And they've been in wars.
Outside their supply line.
Yeah. Space Amazon. Space Amazon.
Destroyed the local economy.
Yeah, Space Amazon destroyed the economy. Because there's that whole virtual interdimensional marketplace they have to go to. But it's just superior to Alpha Station's marketplace in every way. It's convenient. You don't even have to leave your own dimension.
Yep.
So just for funsies, I'll probably cut this out. But I found out the actual distance in miles is for a light year is 50 trillion. Or like 58 trillion miles. So just for a fun fact. Or 58 trillion miles to a light year. Sorry, that was just kind of...
Oh, Richard has a non-standard unit of measurement. How many of those is it?
How many cubits is it, Richard?
Let's see. We will go the other way.
I'd say a metric butt ton.
5.559 times 10 to the 15th smoots.
To one light year.
What the heck is a smoot?
It's a guy who was in a college whose name was Smoot, who was used as a... handy yardstick to measure a bridge.
Yeah. A guy at MIT was sick of walking across Harvard Bridge in the winter. And so when a bunch of people wanted to join his fraternity, they're like, you go use that guy and measure how far it is across this bridge in him and mark it so that I can tell how far across I am. And the guy that they used as the measuring stick, his last name was Smoot. And so Smoots became a measurement there. And then Mr. Smoot went on to work for the International Standards Organization to actually standardize things. And I mean, if being used as a form of measurement by MIT doesn't get you in on that resume, what will?
Wait, so is it Harvard or MIT he went to?
MIT, it's the Harvard Bridge, which is named after the same guy that Harvard University is named after. Danged airplane.
But yeah, there we go. MIT invented Smoots. So they are more precise than meters, probably. Who knows?
All right. So it's my turn for the next question, though, right? Just to
come
back from that little tangent that
bring us back in.
So the last.
Well, did we ever cover why the human economy is in shambles?
It's a human economy.
Yeah, space. Space Amazon.
Okay.
Space Amazon, and also they blow stuff up and fire big old missiles, and they didn't actually properly exploit the planet with the duplicators.
Unless they're like,
okay,
if we have a planet full of like illegal counterfeiters, that's going to ruin our economy. We might as well just blow it up. I think they were justified.
The commander did nothing wrong.
Oh.
Anyways, yeah, let's get this next question.
All right.
Before Eric advises for more genocide.
It's not genocide if they're not people, I think. I don't know. That made me sound bad. Anyways.
Yeah, that was horrible.
But
we're definitely leaving that in, though.
Yeah. It's part of your reputation.
Yeah. Dare to be the villain. All right. So the last question on movie mistakes is Bubbles dies because she was wounded in battle, yet nowhere in the scene could I see her actually get hit or hurt. Am I missing something, or do we just not see the moment where she's mortally wounded?
So, yeah, it kind of happens slightly off screen. I assumed, because when I was watching it, because they go down the grate, and it took her longer than usual to get down the grate than you'd think. So I thought, is she, like, having trouble? Is she getting stabbed a lot? What's going on? And then afterwards, she's like, I'm dying. I'm like, oh, yeah, because you sucked at going down a crate.
Or, you know, when they were falling down with all of the garbage, some kind of pokey garbage poked her.
She landed on a butter knife.
Yeah.
She landed on a squid fork.
A squid fork. Or
are
like
there forks for squids?
The head, like, lemon slicer-y thing.
Oh, did that go down too? That got thrown away, an old one?
Who knows? So, I mean, she could have gotten injured during the fall.
She landed in salt.
Yeah, landed in salt.
She's a squid person. A jelly.
But squid live in salt water. Rihanna. Is that really a big deal?
She turned to dust.
She got Thanos-ed.
She landed. Yeah. Or, you know, she landed in like flour or something.
Oh, and she absorbed it into her.
It absorbed all the water in her.
Or maybe it's just because she can change shapes and forms. She landed in flour, and so it started to overcome her natural order, and she turned into flour.
Yep, and that's why she turns into dust at the end.
Because she is a method actor. She's a great artist. They told us that she was a great artist.
Ever.
Apparently.
Look, she really wanted to have a Catwoman audition tape, all right? And she was going to get it in this movie.
Oh, gosh. Thanks for reminding me of that horrible.
But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think she got injured while escaping.
She does get hurt off screen.
And also then she lands in dangerous garbage. And she doesn't have any sort of body armor.
Nope. She didn't even morph herself into something with body armor. She was just blue and goopy at the time.
She couldn't. Morphing herself into body armor wouldn't help because she'd still be made out of her.
Look, we don't know how her shape shifting works. Maybe it would have protected her, but she didn't do it. She was blue goo, and so she died.
John, the actual body armor that the bad aliens are wearing don't protect them. Like, they're literally able to be stabbed through with a stick, like, by a very scrawny 12-year-old.
It's true. He does it.
Oh, yeah. But see, Valerian and Loreline are wearing body armor. So they're okay in the garbage, is what I was saying.
Loreline was not. She was wearing the wedding dress.
No, she was wearing the dress over her armor.
Let's just say she got hurt off screen. How about that? And they needed the dramatic reveal that she sacrificed herself to protect them. Some rando. I don't know. She does it for everyone.
We'll get to how Bubble doesn't actually do anything in the movie anyways in a second, but I think we still have
one more from
plot holes.
I have one from IMDb. I moved away from it. Let me go back there.
Yeah, so we only had enough plot holes to count on one hand after having the other hand shot off in a war.
So you lose both your tear ducts and one hand in the war and still be able to count the plot holes.
Okay, so the one thing I found on IMDb, so when Valerian breaks through gate 81, he begins falling in space. This is not possible as there is no gravity in space. Even if Alpha was large enough to create gravity, he would not fall. So that sounds like a George issue.
So we've got a couple of options here.
Well, they do have gravity on the station.
They artificial do, gravity.
Yeah, artificial gravity. And we don't know how exactly that works, so maybe he's getting pulled into a gravity well.
Maybe it doesn't match up to exactly the edge of the space station and goes a little bit outside the space station so that, like, ships that dock with the space station can have the same localized gravity field.
You turn off your gravity field and then let the station's gravity field take over?
Exactly. Saves energy on your starship, matches you to the local gravity so you'll be used to it, and also would have a little floaty extra bit of gravity outside a space station to cause someone to fall dramatically when they jump out of the wrong door. I assume that happens a lot here.
Well, the guy's just able to run through it. Like, no, OSHA was not involved in this space station's construction, I don't think.
No, because they just kept clobbering bits on.
I think after some point, things were getting added and no one was actually paying attention. Like, I don't think there's any sort of clearance because, I mean, those barbarian aliens are just kind of living there, like straight up fishing for people and then using them as food.
A delicious, delicious appetizer, apparently, with giant space lemons.
Space lemon flavoring. Yeah, so, yeah, there is no space OSHA, is the point.
Or when the atmosphere vents, when he charges through a airlock seal into the vacuum of space, it creates some kind of force that pushes him downward relative to the station.
Away from the incoming traffic?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways that Valerian could fall and still be okay relative to this. Plot-wise.
And if you squint at it, maybe a little science? Maybe?
Sprinkle it.
Yeah, if you squint at it, it might look science-shaped.
Yeah.
Sprinkle it with a little science and a lot of fiction.
Little science and a lot of hopes and wishes.
But there you are. The five plot holes that we could find listed for all of the people who seem to claim that it's Valerian in the City of 1,000 plot holes.
Valerian in the City of 5 plot holes.
Not even very good plot holes at that.
No, but that doesn't mean we can talk about the movie.
We basically had to scrape the bottom of the barrel. If we're going to Reddit posts from a couple of years ago, we're basically, not phoning it in, but we had to search very far.
It's because we kept reading those articles and they're all like, this is Valerian in the City of 1,000 plot holes. And then you read the article and they just didn't like the movie. And they said it had plot holes, but they never gave examples of what they considered a plot hole.
Yeah, I found at least 3 separate articles that used the same tagline and none of which had plot holes. Actual plot holes.
Now, that's not to say it's a great movie.
But it's...
it's no Tremors.
It's not a perfect film, but it was at least fun to watch.
Yeah, it's very visual. I do think it was too long.
And I think, like I said earlier, it's packed with all of the things the director wanted to have happen in one movie because he knew he wasn't going to get another one. And it felt really busy because of that. You'd have quick glimpses into this place or that place where you're like, oh, you could do like a whole story here and it would be a good story, but we're moving on because we're done now.
So do we think Valerian should have been a Netflix TV series, like a Netflix series?
I think the pattern we're seeing with most of these movies that have been based on earlier works like John Carter and the Green Hornet and whatnot is, yeah, since the earlier material was so much greater, it would benefit a longer visual medium, like a TV series.
I think Valerian could have worked as a film, but it would have been like
maybe a trilogy,
a planned trilogy, and go with less, like have more focused plots.
I'll admit, I think the best sequence in the movie itself is the initial visit to the interdimensional market, and they could have built that into maybe almost an entire film if they
turn it into a heist
built
movie
up to it. Yeah,
make a heist movie, then make split it up into,
or do the, you know, it's the mystery movie because the heist happened and you're trying to solve the crime.
Yeah, because there's a lot to work with the concept of, you know, there's this market you can visit. And we're talking about how the market's actually layered, but you sense that you visit like in a VR mode. You can only walk on the upper surface unless you can find a way down to the lower levels. And that would give the spacing better, because to be honest, the City of a Thousand Planets, the station itself, has so much varied terrain and locations that it just kind of blends together, even with the interdimensional market, which is why, you know, the interdimensional market's getting all the money now.
It is. Space Mazon.
Plus, then we'd get to know the Marines and support guys.
Yeah. We would be really, really sad when dude with the hat dies. Instead of just by the end, you're like, oh, man, I liked the guy with the hat.
Is he dead? I don't know for sure. I don't see it specifically, but it's heavily implied because there's a big creature in the bus.
But then he wouldn't just be dude with the hat.
Yeah, he'd have a name.
He'd have a name. I mean, we already kind of like him because he does make the one alien do the little dance moves.
I mean, I think another thing that hurt it is we have a very passive antagonist.
Yes.
Because our bad guy is the commander, and he spends 3/4 of the movie in stasis.
Captured and in stasis. Like, it was, I'll admit, I was surprised when backup commander was legitimately a good guy who followed the procedures to get the right things done. Like, he didn't hack his way into having higher security clearances. He was like, no, the commander's missing. I'm now in charge. I need clearance to find out what's going on. Give me this clearance.
Or the fact that he finds out that they're interrogating this alien species guy that he's never seen before. And he like walks in and says, what's going on here, guys? Get him out of here.
Arrest this man.
Yeah.
Like, I did not expect him to be a good guy.
Yeah, that was a nice subversion of expectations. Because I was watching this movie with my wife, and apparently she recognized that actor, and she's like, oh, he's going to be a bad guy. I think he plays a lot of bad guys in previous roles.
It's typecast.
So, yeah. So I just...
Well, see, it'd be a subversion if it was replaced with something good. It's just he wasn't a bad guy, and there really wasn't an active bad guy.
Now, see, like, the thing that would have been interesting, you know, if the commander had been quote-unquote captured, he had gotten out of stasis and just pretended to, you know, was continuing to be dead and was actively working against people.
Yeah, like he escaped the escaped capture. And so they're still thinking that the aliens have him, but he's actually doing his things.
He's actually doing his things, or he's using his robots to cause more alien attacks to make the other commander who's following the rules think that the aliens are doing this so that he has to go in and blow them up. Like, that would have worked for his plot, and he would have been a better villain rather than a dude who happened to get gooed.
Yeah, he did something bad in the past, y'all. Now we gotta get rid of him now. He has to face judgment.
Now, to be fair, he had several opportunities to own up to it.
And eventually he just did the you can't handle the truth speech.
And said that, you know, death before dishonor, blow everyone up.
Yeah, I also think, because we have the alien gangster at the beginning, and he doesn't matter anytime later, I think he could have been a recurring conflict.
Yeah.
Maybe at least even a foil for the protagonists. Just, they need to go to a specific, not the main space station, but they're at an outpost or whatever, and lo and behold, there's some goons of his, kind of like, I don't know, Jabba the Hutt.
Or make the Paradise Valley sequence actually matter.
Yeah, it's his place.
Yeah, it's his place. They have to deal with him to get into this other place. Then, you know, it brings it back, and he's like, well, you'll give me the converter, and I'll help you save the...
I'll help you save your girl. You give me my converter back.
So my main problem with this film is actually the vast amount of CGI that was used. That was very distracting, in my opinion. Like, it made the aliens look cool, but I think it kind of hampered it as well.
I didn't mind it.
It's not bad-looking CG.
It's not, but it's distracting CG, I think.
I don't know. I think it was to the point where non-CG things would have hurt because of how much they would have had to do by CG.
I have a number of how many things they would have had to do in CG.
I think maybe your real issue is how very French the movie is.
Probably.
Like the non-CGI costumes for like the old Fisher guy is unique and weird and doesn't quite flow in with the CG aesthetic. So maybe that's a bit of it.
I just know some parts were just distracting. Just, oh yeah, this is a green screen.
200 different alien species in the film, and there was an actual 600-page book that Luc Besson put out describing in detail all of the species
for their moment.
For their moment, so that the actors had to read up on what their species was like. But that gives us, across this film, 2,734 visual effects shots. For instance, in his prior film,
The Fifth Element.
Fifth Element, there were only 188 visual effects shots.
So yeah, it's scaled up.
It's scaled up a lot. But again, this was also, what, 20 years later?
Fifth Element
was 97.
Has it really been that long since Fifth Element?
Yeah, Fifth Element's old, guys. But that's why there's quite so much CG in the film.
All right, so let's throw Valerian in there. If you have to choose between watching Valerian, John Carter, or Lone Ranger, which one would you watch?
I'd rather watch Valerian. I had more fun with this one than I did with the other two. John Carter, I think with every repeated watching, I get angrier about it. Because the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this wasn't too bad. Second time I watched it, I had some serious hesitation.
I think that's the hard part, because we've watched John Carter and Valerian once each only.
I've watched John Carter twice.
I mean, a Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger, I've only seen once. Lone Ranger, was okay. But again, that's one of those ones where, like, even watching it the first time, I had fun watching it. But I'm not certain that I would enjoy watching it again. But again, it's like, it's super soon. I definitely wouldn't want to watch it right now.
All right, and then you, Eric, are Lone Ranger still?
I'm in the Lone Ranger camp. I think Valerian was too long, and if they had cleaned up some of the plot threads they had, it would have been a little bit more enjoyable. Like, for example, one of the plot threads that just kind of came out of nowhere is he talks in the, like, near the end of the film that he's had a girl inside of him the entire time, and that, for me, just came out of nowhere, like, okay, I guess that's just something I have to accept.
It wasn't that big of a surprise for me, because again, they talked about how he had the heightened waves, and they make the whole plot point about how he's remembering things from 30 years ago.
Yeah, and he did get the flash of blue light that reached him.
See, I could have seen it a little bit better if he was actually seeing, like, voices or whatever. Like, maybe that blue flash, like, I thought that blue flash was just kind of a, like, a memory or whatever. It wasn't an actual soul inside of him.
So maybe there should have been a bit more, it should have been more intrusive is what you're saying, and that bothers you. So you'd much rather have the not supernatural supernaturalness of a Lone Ranger?
Just more like maybe he's able to, like, he'll see something from the Muir planet or whatever and recognize it. Like, it's like, well, how did I recognize that? Just kind of, it gives him extra knowledge, and he has to come to terms with that. Like, he had the memories, but does that, like, maybe he would able to, maybe he had said, oh, this is a converter, this does this. It's like, well, how did you know that? It's like, well, I don't know how I know that. How do I know
it's
that?
It's just in my head. See, for me, it's a hard call, because I'd say
you're voting for John Carter.
Lone Ranger is a better experience. But Valerian has better moments. Like, you see what I'm saying there? It's Lone Ranger is a bit more...
Lone Ranger's a popcorn movie.
Has a better average. Yeah, whereas Valerian, I'm like, I do kind of want to watch it again to just try and pay attention to more stuff going on in the background in the larger scenes. Or just to wonder about this world. Because it is an interesting looking world. And there were things that caught me by surprise. And I'm like, all right. And she gets to bring him fruit. And then the barbarian king guy starts squeezing the juice over her head and then grabs his cutting device, and you're like, oh, well, this went completely different from where I thought it was going. And, you know, there's a lot of side characters with...
There are side characters that have stories that need to be told.
Yeah.
I demand more Tazeek.
Tazeek.
Oh, the...
tour guide of the...
Yeah, tour guide.
The one market tour guide, because I'm like, I don't know where he's going, but I want to go on that tour.
I was thinking you were talking about the sub-captain.
Bob.
Yeah. He's great. The security guard, police officer guy who got really excited when he found out that he's going to go get someone in the market. I mean, like, he showed up. I'm like, this guy's happy with his job. He's going to go get someone with some sticky weight balls. Feel bad about the barbarian who gets his head blown off because he captured Valerian on the fishing line. He was just fishing.
He was fishing for people, John.
You know, if people are dumb enough to get fished, that's on them, really.
Now you just called Valerian's girlfriend dumb.
Well, I mean, she's supposed to be highly trained as well. I think she probably could have also been prepared to blow someone's head off.
Yeah. Or,
but she's not quite as sociopathic as Valerian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's more willing to go try on dresses, maybe. She gets angry about it at first, and eventually she picks one she likes. And then, yeah, the attendant.
The attendant was great.
Yeah, the attendant's like, you like this dress? And it's all told just through facial expressions and stance and stuff. And I liked that. Like, it's a great character.
But yeah, that's what I think. I think Valerian would have been good for a trilogy. And we could have done a couple of ones where we could have had, like, a heist in the big market. And we could have done a whole thing dealing with the City of 1,000 Planets and missing people and these fishing guys. We could have had all of those scenes.
And through the whole thing would be the threat of the mule converter and missing mule, but it's never center until the final film. Yeah. And then also, then it hurts a lot more when you find out the commander's... the bad guy?
Because the commander's been our friend for the past two films. I mean, sure, he makes some tough calls. He had to make some rough calls there. And you're like, ah, but I get why you did that. And then, you know...
Then in the end, you find out he committed genocide.
And you're like, Commander, why? But then you're like, no, I could see the commander making that call too.
Those are really big bomb explosions. I think they should have been more focused, really. It's a problem with the technology. Though, still, the spaceship crashing as big as it was would have caused major ecological problems.
It did. It made the whole planet explode because it was filled with uranium pearls.
That were replicated. All right. So, any more thoughts?
I think it's a fun film, and if you didn't go and see it, because nobody went and saw this film...
It's worth a watch, at least.
It's at least worth one watch. Get yourself some popcorn, settle in for Valerian... trying to be like a 12-year-old boy flirting with a 16-year-old girl who isn't interested in him.
Yeah. He's kind of a sociopath and doesn't understand
emotions.
Personal space.
HR sexual harassment rules.
Apparently they don't have that either in the future. They got rid of that with OSHA.
But they should still have it in like the military with your chain of command.
Maybe he's like a mercenary, the private military.
I still like my crackpot theory. Valerian's serving off his time in juvie in the military.
It's a public service. 12.
That's why he's 12 and has done all of these things.
But yeah, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. And opens with Major Tom, which was not what I was expecting.
Were you expecting the Spanish Inquisition?
I never expect the Spanish Inquisition.
Were you expecting Gangster's Paradise because it was used in all the trailers?
No,
because I don't remember the trailers.
I'll have to go back and watch the trailers. I think I saw it on YouTube a couple times, like YouTube trailers. But yeah, I just...
But then 5 seconds went by and you clicked skip?
Basically. Doesn't everyone?
I mean, yes, everyone does this.
Everyone skips. And sometimes you don't skip because you weren't paying attention. And you're wondering what's going on now because you kind of phased out and you're like, what are we talking about? And you realize that you're no longer on your video, but you're on an ad that lasts like 2 minutes.
Oh, I hate those. Or like the I've seen the worst one. Which one?
I've seen a 10-minute ad that caught me by surprise. I thought, you know, this was even before you had to worry about skipping. Like, it really was like the, you know, they have the 15-second ads. And then there was randomly a 10-minute one. And then there was actually once a TV show. Episode one was being shown as an ad.
As the ad.
Oh, I remember that one. I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing? Like, you're not making me want to watch this.
Oh, yeah, that does remind me. So, the other funny thing with the guy with the nice hat, specifically, it is actually the same actor from Fifth Element as well.
Is it the same hat?
It is not the same hat, but it is the same actor, Matthew Kasovitz.
All right. Bringing it back to the Fifth Element. Really, it could have gone through more doors if they had a multipass.
They would have.
But you should watch Valerian, and if you have any opinions about space pangolins or what you'd buy at Space Amazon, leave us a like on Facebook and maybe leave a post.
Or, in 280 characters or less, tell us on Twitter at PlotSpacklePod what you would buy from Space Amazon. How would you give Space Bezos more space money?
Or, if it won't fit in that few characters because you have an essay about how you should be buying local and not using Space Amazon to destroy the local economy, you can send us your email at plotspacklepodcast@gmail.com. And of course, a big thank you to our backers on Patreon. We would not be doing this without your help.
Thank you.
Thank you from 1,000 planets.
1,000 thank yous.
Slightly less plot holes.
Maybe, I don't know, a redneck's 4th of July plot holes? Since, you know, they blow off all their fingers. Is that how we lost our fingers in the war?
High-fiving a landmine?
A torque bow tag.
Torque bow tag.
A freak gasoline fight incident.